Injuries would be an excuse if they were in these games. It's not an excuse. And I don't know what the hell transpired at halftime yesterday. I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm trying not to. Like, I saw what Mitch tweeted. And maybe Mitch wants to come in here later. He's got a lot to do now.
Does he have to defend a tweet?
Well, he's saying, like, hey, has any of you actually thought that maybe Donovan Mitchell was hurt and you guys are just irritated and upset?
Well, but that's what I did with Darius at the end of last week.
Hey, look at guys, go back and look at Kenny Atkinson's face in the post game. Listen to the comments in the post game. I'm sorry, it's a legitimate talking point to wonder whether or not they just decided, which, by the way, it's asinine to do it this way, because they could have just held him out in the second half. Because if you're asking Darius that, hey, do you really want to go in the second half because you're down by 41 points, then what's the point? What's the point of going through the rigmarole there? They said he's going to need an MRI, but he says he's fine. He told Cleveland.com that he's definitely going to be playing on Tuesday. Of course, Darius Garland did go out and tell Jared Greenberg he was going to be playing in game two during game one. He said he's going to play on Tuesday, and he was walking around with no boot in the postgame. So I don't want to accuse him. Maybe I can accuse, well, no, because I would like to accuse them of being too cautious with injuries, but it's a 41-point game. It's a 41-point game. If it's that deficit at halftime, like a 20-point game at halftime, hey, teams have come back from 20 points down. Get out there. 30 points is pushing it. 40 points at halftime, you're down by 40. Hey, we need you healthy. I don't need any stupid things happening in the second half. Sit. Well, Tristan Thompson's going to get his minutes in. I know this is ugly. It's bad. I'm going to get cussed out for this by the fan base because this team was not prepared to play. But damn it, we got to be ready for game three or game five now. And this is as bad as it gets. Just, my God, I cannot believe of all the things I thought I'd see transpiring last night, I never thought I'd see any of it. DeAndre Hunter not getting thrown out, but Benedict Mathurin is getting thrown out. Them playing as laxative. They did, by the way, I made the Dusty Rhodes joke earlier. They actually did shoot 40% from three. So it wasn't that bad of a night, certainly, from 3 points.
Which was their best, but by far their best 3-point shooting night of the series.
I can't do this. I cannot do this. You cannot go down like this. I'm telling you, you go down like this, there's wholesale changes that will be called for, and maybe they're coming from Dan Gilbert. Maybe Dan will react like that. Because this is 3 years in a row, man. 3 years in a row. You lay down and die tomorrow night and just lose this series and have a gentleman's sweep. Heaven help us. Because you bring this group back, you run it back this year, it is going to be tumbleweeds. You could blow every team out by 30 and win 82 games, and it will be tumbleweeds for your regular season. You guys are going to be blowing off those torches in vain. Tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong.
Well, wrong about what? I mean, it's
thank you. So I'm right about it all.
It's evident that, you know, I guess the only thing you got to wonder is how big of an impact have the injuries been to the team? Because that's always going to come up. Anytime a team, like, will the Cavs, the minute the series is over, if they lose, will they be talking about how unfortunate it was that they had all those injuries where three of their guys by the end of game one, you know, were not going to be available. That Darius couldn't start this series. You know, your big advantage was supposed to be you've got these two guards that are playing at an all-NBA level this year that you didn't have both of them.
And Darius and Evan, I feel, were legitimately injured. And I do think that they're playing through something. I think that Evan is obviously playing through something, even though, I mean, last night wasn't that great. I think that they're playing through things. But isn't everybody playing through things? I mean, Tyrese Halliburton is running around with a hurt wrist. I know his legs ain't bothering him, so he can at least still get up and down the floor, but it's still going to affect his shooting. I mean, guys play with injuries. It's the postseason. They played 82 games in the regular season. I mean, what else is there to do? I can't. Am I going to sit there and blame, okay, we're the one team that has bad injury luck? Because for a moment, I was ready and raring to go, and I'm going, man, it's been 3 years in a row we've been talking about injuries with these guys. Darius, I mean, you breathe on him the wrong way. And I'm not saying he's faking it. He's not, but he is slight. He is not that big of a guy. And that will have a real problem with you if you're trying to do anything competitive in the future. You won 64 games. The regular season is dead in this town if they lose on Tuesday night.
Well, people had picked apart Darius and his level of physicality and toughness. And, you know, Darius at the end of game three, you know, post game was like, people have no idea what I've been going through. And yet he's been called out by Stephen A. Smith. He's been called out by national guys, Kendrick Perkins, you know, and that had to be tough. Like, imagine if you're getting called out, your manhood essentially is being called out by guys that have a following, and you've got people around the NBA that are saying these things about you. You come back and play, and you wonder what level he's going to be at. Clearly, like, when he came back game three, he was not Darius Garland.
No.
And fortunately, they won the game, but he was nowhere near.
But I was watching that game, and I felt, man, I think he's given them a boost. I think that they still have to take him seriously and come out and guard him, because he can't stand there and just hit a three. He's got a good shot. It's not the prettiest shot in the world, but he's got a good shot. Like, those were things that I was given heart by in a blowout win in game three. And that's where I thought that at game four, I didn't think was going to be a blowout, at least on for a win for us. But I definitely thought we were going to win this game last night. And to come out and play like that, I would have been mad at the time, but I was too bewildered by what was going on. I was just shell-shocked, which I hate doing because it sounds like a cop-out. Like when people say, well, I have no words. Well, you know what? You're a talk show host. You better have some words. And all the words I have right now are things I can't say on the radio. Because, damn it. Like, I talk about pride. Okay, some loudmouth on the radio is talking about pride. I can't yell at them any more than I've yelled at them. And I have been on their side and felt the injuries were legitimate. But I can't keep using injuries as an excuse. If injuries are an excuse, then we're made of a bunch of tin men. And then changes must have to happen. And we must have to find guys that are going to be able to push this team over the top. Or closer to the top is what it is. Because, man, you go out there and you get beat tomorrow night. This is as bad as I felt about a Cavs team, and I can't remember when. This is an ugly feeling.
And you were a big favorite in this series going in.
Yes. It was 9.5 points for game one. Jeff in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Okay, guys. You know, what we saw last night was one team prepared for a basketball game. The other team prepared for a boxing match. And you saw who won? The guys who prepared for the boxing match. They went out and put the road work in, jogging 3 or 4 miles a day. The guys who prepared for the basketball game ride the treadmill, walk the treadmill an hour a day, or the stationary bike. But these guys, these Indianapolis guys, they're jogging 3 or 4 miles a day every day. So you saw the difference, okay? Now, what we got to do is play bully ball. That's all we got left, because Donovan's done, okay? Garland's
Who's going to be the bully? Who's going to be the bully?
Evan and Allen, they got to play bully ball, and then when they collapse on them in the middle, they got to kick it out to Ty Jerome or the other guy, Matt Spruce. They got to drop bums.
I know you want them to do that. They ain't playing bully ball. That's not them. They are not like that. They ain't built that way. Nate and Lorraine, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm gonna put it simple to you guys. It's in Atlanta.
Nate, I'm sorry. I cannot understand what you're saying whatsoever. Larry in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Man, I like to say, man, the Cavs, man, what happened to their desire, man? 64 games, man. This disrespect for Cleveland. This the land, man. You got to protect the land. You can't be out there looking fishy. Man, this is so disrespectful. And then on top of that, I would have been picked Christian in because – he's been there. You got to have players that have been there to give you confidence, give you inspiration, motivation, man, about attacking other players when you get attacked. And then Hunter, he got an instant whooping, and he had no points. Dude, we got the coach got our coach, big time. He should have rotated that when they were down by 10 points. Put the big man in and get their feet. Well, we could have won the second game. He would have put Tristan in because – Tristan, he know how to block players and get rebounds. We would have won the game.
If we put Tristan in, we would have won game two?
Absolutely. He know how to get the ball. He know how to block out players at the right time. And all of that, he know how to get a rebound. This He doesn't do the little thing.
Oh, you're talking about on the free throws? You're talking about on the free throws we couldn't get the rebound?
No, I'm talking about the rebounds, man, and block out players. You know how to get physical with them. We need to get physical players, man. One thing, Allen is not a true center, but he's good. But this, we need some. We need to all step up, man. The fans need to step up. We need all. This is the game, the pride game. Tomorrow night, we gotta show out because this we cannot go on like this, man. This would be a just big disgrace on our Cavs team because we all deserve right. better. Have all a good right. night.
Thank you for the call.
You realize the level of desperation we're at. If I would have told you we'd be getting calls that Tristan should have been playing in the series. I probably would have said, okay, yeah, we're definitely eliminated.
We don't know.
People are talking about Tristan Thompson at this stage of his career.
We don't. We're grasping for hopes now.
I get it. I totally get it because insane. Nothing makes sense. Nothing that we said about this team favorably all season has come to fruition in the postseason with the exception of, you know, Donovan Mitchell has had his monster games. You know, Donovan Mitchell has looked at times in the series like, one of the best five players in the NBA.
That's Shedeur Sanders during his media availability on Saturday. He went a little further because he picked number 12. You know, his idol's Tom Brady. Says the story will be similar to Tom's.
That was it. My story is going to be similar. I was a late round draft pick, but we're here now, so none of that stuff matters. That just mattered on the day, and just excited to be here and ready to work.
You want me to talk about what I'm fired up first before I talk about the quarterbacks, or you want me to talk about the quarterbacks first?
I figured
first?
We're going to get in due time.
I the nitty gritty breakdown. QBs first. Well, I'll tell you this. It doesn't have to be nitty gritty. I stood there and I watched. I wanted to make a joke that the ground shook. As I walked in, which that makes a fat joke about me, I stood there, the ground shook as Shedeur Sanders turned and burned and threw. I will tell you this, Dylan Gabriel probably throws it as hard as anybody I've seen in my life. I mean,
no kidding.
The thing is whistling in the air. That's how hard, that boy's got a strong arm, and that thing is flying. He had one duck, Shedeur Sanders did. I didn't see the duck. The cameras caught it. I didn't see it. I was probably talking to Zach Jackson or something at the time. I thought Shedeur Sanders did a fine job against air and a shirt and shorts. I know that there's going to be conversation about somebody being traded to New Orleans. It ain't going to be Shedeur Sanders. Derek Carr is retired. I understand that. He had one of his lengthy things that he does. And they ain't trading Shedeur Sanders to New Orleans. They might trade Joe Flacco to New Orleans. Ain't going to be Shedeur. Ain't going to be Dylan Gabriel. Those two guys are staying. Like, I saw that. Well, maybe they'll trade Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders ain't. No. If I'm wrong, fine, but I ain't going to be wrong about that. It the only person I think right now in any consideration to be traded, I mean, unless they were going to go, we'll give you two ones for Shedeur Sanders, and hey, what the hell. But, anybody who has any consideration to be traded is probably Joe Flacco, Tone. If you disagree, speak up now.
I was surprised that I was seeing anything about the Saints wanting any of our quarterbacks. I don't know. It seemed like guys have been available. Well,
yeah, but you got four quarterbacks. Three are young. One's older. But a lot of people trust the older quarterback. So a lot of people just assume, okay, one of them is a possible trade bait. Commodity for the New Orleans Saints after Derek Carr has decided to call it a career. That's what you're going to get. Even though they went and they got Tyler Shuck,
they have Spencer Rattler still on the depth chart.
Yeah. So if anybody,
I don't think we're not really thinking we're going to get anything substantial.
No, but if anybody's getting ready to speak Creole, it would probably be Joe Flacco in this case. Not Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand any of that. Because what I saw to him, I go, no. You're going to keep him, and you're going to see what he possibly can do for you. Because he's a hell of a lot better than any other fifth-round pick I've seen in 13 years doing that. They've had fifth-round picks. They've had journeymen in there who have not looked good, who throw really loose balls, who throw really slow ones, and I'm sure Keith's going to make a video of that one. And I'm telling you right now, he's a lot better than that. He is a first or second round talent who was taken in the fifth round. For whatever reason, that might be in the past. We'll find out. He's got to come out and comport himself well. But I think between he and Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett, I would say that my realistic depth chart right now, Joe, I'm going to put him in a separate category. Because, again, I love Joe, and I would start the season with Joe. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to start the season with Kenny, and I think that right now it's still Dylan Gabriel over Shador Sanders. Right now. Even though I thought Shador did look better. On Friday. I was just there on Friday. I didn't get to go on Saturday or Sunday. I was just there on Friday.
Yeah, it's so
and it was rookie camp and they're in t-shirt and shorts.
It's so hard. Obviously, I did not get a chance to see any of that, so I was going to rely on you and your eyes, and you know, you are a trustworthy individual.
Am I?
You're somebody that has a particular savvy when being able to watch
that. Why do you and Owen make it out to everybody that I'm shady?
Shady.
You said I'm a trustworthy individual, and you guys make it out that you can't trust me as far as you can throw me.
No.
And you guys can't even pick me up.
No, just I think some of the videos over the years, Owen and I had secretly wondered if they were staged. But other than that,
reaction shots. There was a video years ago that was not staged. It was done by my wife.
She was on the payroll too. That was the only thing we had ever questioned.
Technically, she is.
We had never questioned. That's true.
You know, after that video, that's when Axel was conceived.
I know. That was the magical night.
Have a wonderful Monday.
They could go find that video online. I think what has always been kind of funny to me about this time of the year, and I will extend it even into training camp, was we know in the NFL, there is nothing remotely like sitting in a pocket with guys barreling in on you who are trying to take your head off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet we can't recreate anything close to that. We can't simulate anything close to that, even in preseason. Even in the preseason games. Like, there's just nothing remotely like it in the regular season. And yet, to see people have the takes that they have on rookie minicamp, where they are wearing what again?
A t-shirt and shorts.
And what?
Jerseys and shorts.
What are the pass rushers allowed to do?
They're not allowed to hit them. They're allowed to tap them on the shoulder.
They're allowed to run in the direction of the quarterback. Yeah. And yes, come through and go, hello, and that's it.
They're allowed to tap them
so
on the shoulder.
Gritty.
That is a nitty-gritty breakdown.
That is, yeah.
That's a little too gritty.
Of Browns camp.
Yes. Now, like they always say in baseball at the start of the year, they'll say in what the beginning of baseball season in like May, they'll say, all right, you can't win a championship. You can't win a World Series in May, but you can lose it. Right? Meaning, you know, it's a long way away. Come on. But you could tell the teams that just have no shot, like the Colorado Rockies, right? Or the Chicago White Sox.
Who just fired their manager.
Yes, who did fire their manager.
Yeah, Bud Black.
Can you tell me, Kenny, to the extent in football at this level and this stage of the season, you can't write anybody off, right? Already, can you? Can you write anybody off?
I mean, only if you're in a belief that that team's going to be bad, but I don't know if it... No one's writing anybody off, no.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I mean, if Shador Sanders, if something clicked, or if Dylan Gabriel and something clicked, then, they're going to be laughing at you at the end of it. But again, you're not going to start the season with probably either one of those guys starting a quarterback.
Well, I just mean, I saw people writing... They were rating maybe the fifth overall pick.
Say it. There we go.
Based on one projectile vomit and then drill. One video of one drill.
I'm going to say this one time and one time only.
Please help me.
I know Mitch is listening. I don't want to see.
Because I said he was the safe pick. Kenny, I said the one thing we know about Mason Graham is he's going to be the safe pick.
You know why he said it? Because he is a safe pick. Guys throw up at practice.
Okay,
guys throw up during football games. That doesn't mean that they're in bad shape. All right? That doesn't mean they're in bad shape. But I got every Tom, Dick, and Harry giving me videos. And I'll tell you right now, can I just say this?
Yes, please. Because
I know Mitch is listening. I don't ever want to see any of this. I've been trying to avoid this and try to not ruin anybody's day with any of this crap for the last umpteen years. I don't ever want to see Dove climbing or Dove climbing or whoever the hell it is, which ain't even that guy anymore. I don't want to see him in the text thread anymore,
Wholesome.
Mitch. I'm going to tell you right now.
Shocking.
If you send it to me, he's giving me the thumbs up. If you send it to me,
disaster.
I'm automatically going to think less of you, and I'm automatically going to do everything I can to not bring it up.
Heartfelt.
So that's where we are on that. And Fran Fraschilla, whoever the hell this other person
who
is.
Who is this guy?
Who is this person?
I had never
Mitch
seen him.
To come in to explain who this guy is, but I don't even need him to do it because I know Mitch is working hard.
Did Mitch try to book him for the show?
I got some guy who maybe makes himself out to be Mel Kiper Jr., got everybody up in a tizzy over Mason Graham and how he feels Mason Graham's the biggest bust ever. Meanwhile, I got legitimate football coaches out there texting me about how great Mason Graham is and how great Mason Graham's going
to
be.
I think the cut-up, Kenny, cut-up was like this. Three plays in rookie minicamp of Mason Graham to write off his career. I've never seen anything like that.
So I'll tell you this. If Mason Graham's a bust, fine, I'll wear it. But I'll go down with the actual football coaches who think that Mason Graham's a difference maker. And I'm not talking about Browns coaches. I'm talking about other people.
Or Michigan coaches.
I will go
down
with legitimate people who have taught the game other than Twitter personalities where they could shut down that stupid site at any time.
What did Colin Rugg say?
I will take their ideas before I take some no-namer that I've never heard of and probably made up the own bios for all we know from all these different people. I got this guy. I got Dove Kleiman, of all people, giving me this. Who the hell that is?
The Dovester.
And I'm going, what is this? What are we doing with all this here? We're just finding reasons to go after the Browns. For what reason? Well, the Browns aren't that good. So you can go after the Browns. But my God, it's been a day, a rookie minicamp. Mason Graham threw up on his helmet. All right, threw up. Guys throw up. So now he's fat and slow and out of shape. All right. Okay. Lord Almighty, we're doing this with Mason Graham during rookie camp.
I couldn't believe it. This is why I saved it. I didn't want to text you about it. I didn't want to upset you over the week. Because I did
not. You should have texted me.
It seemed like you were having a great weekend. I didn't want to ruin that in any way. The Cavs tried to ruin our weekends.
It wouldn't have ruined my week. No, the Cavs ruined the weekend at the very end of it. But you wouldn't have ruined my weekend. I would have just made this passionate defense of Mason Graham. I can't believe I have to have a passionate defense of Mason Graham.
I saw three drills.
On May 12th, for crying out loud.
I saw three drills and a puke.
On the internet?
Yes.
That's why you got to go to camp.
Three drills, one puke. That's what I saw. And now they have... They've made it sound like his career is over as a Cleveland Brown.
I saw a bunch of Mason Graham drills, and I didn't see a single puke. I didn't see him get sick. I didn't see any of that.
Where did this come from?
Kevin Stefanski had said that he had had too many wings or something like that before practice, and that things got haywire.
How many wings? Do we have a poll? How many wings is, quote, too many wings?
I've seen so many damn guys in the history of football be in tip-top shape. It gets sick. It happens way more than you think. It happens in high school games that I go to for Friday night touchdown. It certainly happens in college. There's a one guy, the one offensive lineman who does it and then starts to nod towards the defensive line like, crazy. It happens in NFL games. It happens before games. It happens after games. The stomach becomes upset and you get sick. None of those guys that I think they were in terrible shape. They took him in the fifth overall pick because he's out of shape. It sounds like a Brownsian move. I'll grant people that. But I don't think that Mason Graham is in bad shape. What's the matter?
So I think it's a nerve response. I think it's called the vasovagal nerve. And that's why sometimes if you get hit in a nerve, you like pass out. Sometimes you throw up. Sometimes if you're using the restroom, you can pass out.
Oh.
Yeah, so I throw up all the time.
Do we draft Tony Soprano, five overall, or is this going to pass out?
I always threw up during sports whenever I was just going too hard and doing conditioning too hard. I still, if I'm cleaning too hard, I throw up.
You going hard in the paint? Cleaning.
Oh, you have no idea.
We get to Mitch on St. Clair. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Mitch. Got to go quick.
Hold on, that guy who keep throwing up, he need to go check a doctor. I never heard of that before. But, Graham, Ken, I'm telling you right now, you're just going on with in farming. They're trying to make you get angry and upset. Don't believe none of these stories that you see.
Yeah, but I have to address
it.
The problem is
I
have to address it because that many fans are bent out of shape over it. They're worried. They're worried about it.
They're worried because these idiots are out there telling you guys to be worried. You don't listen to these idiots. That's a fake engagement account.
I can't. Listen, I understand too, but I got real fans sending me messages asking about this guy. I'm getting Lyman and I are getting texted by people on Sunday morning of Mother's Day, for crying out loud. At 7:30 a.m. yesterday, we're getting texted about this. Lima, tell
you're not mother. You're not mother, so it shouldn't hurt you guys. But listen, I'm trying to tell you guys right now, it's not that big of a deal. Let's just calm down, relax, and stop letting the guys who engagement farm you guys upset you guys. Ken, golly.
Daryl, or Mitch, thank you very much
for the
call.
Yeah, the problem is, Mitch,
coming up at 8:02.
If I click on any of these, then I'm force-fed these from now until the end of my time here on this planet. I can't stop. Colin Rugg and Dove Kleiman, They have me in a stranglehold. I can't get out of
Who is Colin Rugg?
Oh, Colin Rugg posts some very, very interesting political material. He's got millions of followers.
Okay.
And I can't stop. I can't stop clicking on it. What do you want me to do?
Is Shador already QB2? Might be gut check time with Mitch. Mitch is getting a bit defensive about Donovan Mitchell.
Defensive or am I being realistic about this entire situation?
He's yelling at me over here. I'm just asking questions to start.
I'm not yelling at you.
You got all this bass in your voice talking to me and Lima over here. You need to relax for just a damn second over here.
I am just amazed that in the wake of the Cavs' loss last night, we are resorting to possible conspiracies over injuries.
It didn't look good.
Yeah, the injury may not have looked good, but we don't know his status for Game 5.
I understand that. But when people are, when you cannot make sense, when it seems inexplainable, then yeah, you're going to get conspiracy theory. Conspiracy will be afoot. Did you? How many times did you watch the video?
A few times, actually, yeah.
Okay, so what did you think of the video, Mitch?
I thought it was a very weird occurrence that all of a sudden he goes down with the injury, but if that's what he's feeling during the game, and especially at that point when you're down 41 points at halftime, I do wonder if they just decided in the moment, like, hey, you know what? I'm not feeling great, and it's not worth it at this point to just risk the injury forward in the second
that's
half.
That's certainly fair, but we didn't need to.
But you guys made it out to be like this whole thing where they brewed it up at halftime. Like,
No.
I think you did a little bit.
No, I did not.
Donovan,
accuse me of that.
When you go out the second half, Donovan.
No, I didn't.
Go down. We'll get you ready for game five.
I said if they did something like that, it's a worthless enterprise to do when I think everybody rational. Hold on. Everybody rationally. Boy, this is how you feel when you're talking to me. everybody rationally would have thought you're down by 41. Like, there's no point of putting him back out there.
Right.
But you can't tell me it didn't look funny and that everybody else is just still shooting.
Yeah, it was very sudden.
At halftime.
It was very sudden to the point where I think some players were like, wait, what's going on with Donovan? Like, it didn't process in their minds until later on when he's taken out of the game.
See, this is what Mitch does. Like, I'm not going to speculate. That he faked an injury. But I think plenty of people are, and then they're mad because I won't quote-unquote see the truth that he was quote-unquote faking a quote-unquote injury.
I will say my frustration is less on you than is the fans.
Well, yeah, you're getting upset.
I'm not.
You were getting upset, Mitchie.
I wasn't upset initially. It's just the whole thing about how, say it like it is, he quit on the team. Like, that's such a baseless accusation to put against a guy who in 3 years has been the model athlete for the Cleveland Cavaliers, if not the entire city.
Yeah, he has been a model athlete for the Cleveland Cavaliers the entire city.
So why are you taking your frustrations for game four out on this? It's so unnecessary.
Because they got hammered and he's the leader of the basketball team and
that's
people are mad.
That's fine. But
because I just gave it and now you're yelling at
you
me.
You don't do a personal thing like that. That's not right.
What's not right?
To put an accusation like that against a player who's been otherwise solid for the last 3 years and who's working his butt off in this series when all the other guys are not stepping up. Back-to-back 40-point games.
I can understand. I'm not going to do it, but I can understand the reason behind it, even though it is back-to-back 40-point games.
We opened the show with this conversation. It got some people brewing.
Because
the conversation's brewing.
I didn't want to, but it was forced upon me. I have to do that because that's what people are talking. Because is that or is that not what people are talking
about? Mitch, the odd thing, it is really odd because they showed it again just now on 19. And I'm telling Ken during the break, look at how bizarre this is. Darius is staring when he first goes down at Donovan and then just starts shooting again. So I don't know if Donovan needed to make a noise or something for him to alert everybody that he was really bad because there is not much urgency by anybody with the Cavs. It's not like they had eight trainers.
A trainer,
over
a coach
them.
Is going to get over there eventually.
One.
Darius's reaction is probably the one thing where I'm like, okay, maybe there was a little bit something there, but otherwise, there's nothing that tangibly makes me think that something was cooked up in the locker room to get them ready for game five. I thought it was a more natural occurrence than some people are making it out to be.
I just think it would have made more sense just to say, hey, Donovan, we know we need you. We need you to get some rest. You had the calf strain, you know, going into the series. Like, let's just sit down for the rest of the second half.
Well, then people were asking why did the same thing not happen with Darius? Because Darius, they were like, hey, do you want to keep playing or sit out? He's like, I want to keep playing. Especially if you want to ramp yourself up for a game five,
but
you have to win.
But if that's what they did where they were cooking up something ridiculous like that, you didn't need to scare the bejesus out of me. Of course, what's the point of having the bejesus scared out of you when you're down by 41 at halftime and you're going to be down 3-1 in the series? So there's really nothing to be scared of. It was just me getting worked up for no reason. But I think that people are going to wonder, especially with, again, I didn't say it. I don't cover the team. Joe Vartan does. Joe had said that this is what, the most conservative team in the NBA when it comes to injuries? Yes. Is that what he not said with us on the show? Okay, so Joe says something like that on the show. A lot of people listen to that interview. And then you have this that comes around. People start to wonder.
I think some people are also going to get frustrated with the fact that this is probably going to be up until an hour before tip-off on Tuesday with Donovan, whether or not he tweets out the hashtag, let him know. It's probably going to be another questionable day-by-day status. And we're going to be talking for the entirety of the runtime, being like, was Donovan going to play? Is he not going to play?
Yeah, this sucks. I think we're also trying to find a way to explain the inexplainable. Mitch, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Dave in Doylestown, you're first up with the fan.
Hey, Ken. I'm kind of with Mitch on this. I think Donovan actually got hurt before the playoffs ever started. I don't remember which game it was, but I think it was in the second half of one of those games. He rolled that ankle pretty hard, and I think he's been working through it ever since.
I thought it was a groin. I thought it was a calf. Lima thought it was a calf.
See, yeah, I remember him rolling it, and it looked bad live, but he was able to fight through it and stayed in the game. It took him, three, four possessions before he looked halfway good. But I thought he was going to be in trouble then, but he's fought through it ever since. So I don't know if Jason or somebody else close to the team might be able to find that out, but I think this is before the playoffs ever started.
Dave, thank you very much for the call. Johnny in Cleveland. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, guys, let's be honest here. Anybody who thinks he's actually injured, if we were up by 17, he would not be wearing a boot. Let's grow up here. When things get bad.
He's not wearing a boot regardless.
He didn't leave the arena in a boot, Johnny.
He wouldn't have left. This conversation would not be happening about Donovan's status. And let's all be honest about that. Mitch, is this fifth grade to you? Like, what do you think this is? No, when things get bad, after you've been the model for 3-4 years, what do? You quit.
But when has Donovan ever been like a quitter in his entire NBA career?
Now, when things aren't going well, when you're down by 41, anybody would.
My quitting starts now.
Johnny, you just can't accuse him of quitting out of nowhere.
It's quit time when I say now.
Literally. When we're at the pinnacle of where we should be after 3 years of trying, and it just gets worse.
First of all, this is not going to be the pinnacle of the Cavaliers. Second of all, Donovan is the athlete that would push even further down back 3-1.
Mitch, this might very well be the pinnacle of the Cavaliers right now. I mean, they're down 3-1. I mean, and they're still in the second round here. So this iteration of the Cavs, Johnny, thank you for the call. This very well may be the pinnacle, bud.
I don't know about that. I'm giving him one more year.
The apex, if you will. You're giving him one more year as a group?
The team this year, at least.
They give him 3 years to prove that they weren't soft. Give him 4 years. Give him 4 years to prove they're not soft. It's a presidential term. Might as well. We got all the time in the world, don't we?
And the thing about Donovan was he was gutting out those early games of the series. Like, he was putting the team on his back to try to get through those games. And even though we were sitting here going, well, he didn't play 40-plus minutes. He only played 34. But it looked like he had left it all on the floor in those games.
Be frustrated too. Okay, do you believe that people would be calling in today if they held him out in the second half? They go, you know what? You're just not playing in the second half.
Most people would have understood it.
Would they?
I think most.
Because you and I are assuming they would be. And yeah, I don't know if we should be.
Because you're just trying to get to the next game as healthy as possible.
Okay.
That's why I saw people like, why is Darius out there? This makes no sense for Garland to still be playing.
And then we found out
after the game that Atkinson went to him to kind of shelve him, put him aside, let him rest up. And he said, no, I got to get out there for rhythm. And he actually played well, which is one, if you're looking for one bright spot, it's like, all right, Darius kind of looked like Darius by the end of the game.
Tone, I hope so, but I have to wonder whether or not the people would be calling in and being that reasonable. I don't know if they would be.
What would they have said? He's getting paid this much money. Yes. He can't even sit through that.
I think that. I hope that's not true. But yes, I would feel that way. But I'm telling you, it would be better than all this that we're doing right now, because now I have to wonder whether or not he's injured or not, and I don't want to wonder those type of things.